The commercial kangaroo industry across Australia follows a specific code of practice for animal welfare. This is a three-part audio guide for commercial harvesters that runs through the main changes to the new code. In particular, the three new standard operating procedures, or SOPs, found on page 23 onwards. These are step-by-step guides to follow in the field. As well as these SOPs, a good starting point for harvesters is the list of requirements on page 48.
Hello, and welcome to this audio guide to the new standard operating procedure for shooting kangaroos and wallabies. This procedure explains best practice for harvesting kangaroos. Now, a quick warning here, this audio guide contains detailed descriptions about humane methods of killing animals. It's important we do this to ensure the most humane outcomes for the animals, so continue listening at your own discretion. Now, first, I'll quickly cover off some important definitions, and then I'll break down the SOP into easy steps. In the second half, I'll speak to Dr. Brad Purcell from the New South Wales Kangaroo Management Program, who is involved in the code review and will help us fill in any gaps. So, let's get started. These four terms are important when it comes to understanding why certain methods for harvesting are used. The term sentient is a new addition to the code. If an animal is considered sentient, it can feel sensations from sensory input. Now, this is a gradual process, but the general understanding is that kangaroos and wallabies become sentient when they get their first fur, even a single hair. Now, this often coincides with the eyes starting to open. A good way to remember this is no fur, no feeling. A sentient animal can be conscious or unconscious. Consciousness is where the animal is aware of sensations such as pain. An unconscious animal has lost consciousness and no longer feels pain. Humane methods of harvesting and euthanasia lead to instant unconsciousness followed by a quick death. Euthanasia is the act of inducing death with minimum pain and distress to the animal to stop current or potential suffering. In this context, it means killing an orphan joey or wounded kangaroo that would otherwise experience a prolonged death. Finally, another addition to the code is harvester's duty of care to the animals. This means harvesters now have an obligation to take reasonable measures to uphold the welfare of kangaroos and wallabies. In other words, they must minimise their pain, suffering and distress. In forums held with harvesters during the review of the code, many harvesters asked for simpler step-by-step processes, explaining how to meet the requirements of a code and why they were important. That's what we'll go through now, the procedure for shooting kangaroos and wallabies humanely. I'll break it down into three parts: preparing for shooting, shooting target animals, and the euthanasia of wounded animals. The preparation for shooting hasn't changed a great deal in the new commercial code, but there is now an even stronger emphasis on the harvester's duty of care to the animals that I mentioned before. Now, that might sound daunting, but you can meet your duty of care by following this procedure. The first things to consider are your environment, your firearm and ammunition, and whether they allow you to shoot as accurately as possible. We know most commercial harvesting takes place at night with a spotlight, because this is when kangaroos graze. These conditions can improve your accuracy because kangaroos are also less inclined to suddenly move in the confusion of the light, and there are less distractions in your peripheral vision. Additionally, you can improve accuracy by 1. Using the right firearm and ammunition, 2. Being seated and comfortable in a stationary vehicle, 3. Supporting your rifle with a gun rest, and 4. Avoiding shooting when it's too windy or when you can't see clearly into the distance. Too windy means winds of about 25 km per hour or more. In terms of choosing the right firearm and ammunition, there have been some minor changes, mostly in relation to shooting wallabies. But it's worth glancing over the tables on pages 21 and 22 of the code. They list the firearm types, caliber and ammunition, and maximum range required for each animal species. In general, most harvesters will continue to use a centerfire rifle fitted with a telescopic sight or scope. Rimfire rifles are still only used for smaller wallabies or shooting wounded animals from a closer range. So what can't you use? Well, self-loading and semi-automatic rifles, and subsonic, full metal jacket, and match ammunition. Keep in mind that the firearm tables include the minimum combinations of firearm and ammunition to achieve the best animal welfare outcomes. So that's the preparation. Now on to shooting the target. Now, imagine you're sitting comfortably in your stationary vehicle, you have your centerfire rifle on a gun rest, and you're looking through the scope. Conditions are clear and still, and you're ready to choose the target. Experienced harvesters have said the most important thing to remember here is to take your time. A hurried shot means a missed shot. So, choose your target wisely. As a harvester, you'll know that it can actually be easier to target a kangaroo that's aware of your presence because it'll stand up and be still. It should also be completely visible and within range. Now, when it comes to shooting females, the requirement to avoid shooting female kangaroos and wallabies has been removed from the code. This is because a recent study into male-only harvesting raised other concerns for population management and animal welfare. So, when it comes to choosing your target, it can be a female. Just keep in mind that it means you'll have to assess the pouch for young and euthanize the joey if there's one in there. You'll also need to check if the female has dependent young at foot that need to be euthanized. And you might choose to do this before targeting the mother if you think it's appropriate. Once the target animal is chosen, a single shot should be discharged at the head to instantly destroy the brain. There are some new helpful pictures on page 27 that show you where you should aim when looking at the kangaroo from the front, side, and rear. If the shot is successful, and through the scope you see there are no signs of a target animal moving, you can shoot up to two more kangaroos in the group before you retrieve the carcasses. That's no more than three animals in total, making sure to assess for any signs of movement after each shot. This three animal limit is a new addition to the code to maintain high animal welfare standards, but the researchers actually found that most harvesters were doing that anyway. If any animal is showing signs of life after being shot, you must stop shooting and tend to the wounded animal immediately. If all goes well, you'll be able to confirm the instantaneous death of each animal from your vehicle and move on to processing the carcasses. So, do you know the four signs that a kangaroo is dead? A good way to remember is the four B's touch test. Beat, that's heartbeat, breath, blink, and bounce. Beat, if you put a hand on the rib cage, there should be no heartbeat. Breath, listen for breathing and hold your hand near the nose and mouth. It should not be breathing. Blink, if you move your hand towards the eyes and touch the eyeball, it should not blink. And bounce, finally, pinch the pad of a large toe and the kangaroo shouldn't bounce or make any movement. You need to check all four, a beat, breath, blink and bounce. If it's a female kangaroo or wallaby, you also need to check that there's no joey in the pouch. Now we're going to talk about what to do if you've wounded an animal rather than killed it. In this case, you are obliged to take all reasonable steps to find the animal, even if it's moved away, and kill it in the most humane way possible to stop its suffering. There are three options or ways to do this. The first and preferable option is to shoot the animal in the head, or if the animal is on the move, you can aim for the chest to destroy the heart and lungs. The pictures on page 28 of a code will help you with placement. If it's not safe to do this from your distance, you can approach the wounded animal and use a heavy concussive blow to the back of the head with sufficient force to crush the skull and destroy the brain. The last option, if the animal is already unconscious but still showing signs of life, is to cut the arteries and veins in the neck to let the animal bleed out. So that's the whole procedure, but a quick recap before we talk to Brad. You can improve your accuracy by considering the weather conditions, how comfortably and still you're positioned, and if you've got the right equipment. Choosing a suitable target animal takes time. Look for animals that are standing still and are fully visible. After a single headshot is taken, look for signs of life. If you believe it's dead, up to three animals can be shot in the group before retrieving them. To confirm death, test the four Bs: the beat, breath, blink and bounce. The animal should not have a heartbeat, be breathing, blinking or bouncing in reaction to a toe pinch. And always check for joeys in the pouch if you've harvested a female. If the target animal is wounded, you must try to locate and euthanize it with a single shot to the head or chest, a concussive blow to the head, or lastly, by cutting the arteries if the animal is unconscious. You might still have some questions after all of that, so we've got Dr. Brad Purcell to shed some more light for us. He's part of the Kangaroo Management Program team in the New South Wales Government and was involved in the review of the commercial code. Welcome, Brad. Thanks for joining us today.
Morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm well. Brad, when did the new code come into effect across Australia in all the different jurisdictions?
The new code was released at the end of 2020 in time for the commercial harvesting year of 2021. It's now in effect across the country.
Brad, was it an extensive review process?
It was quite an extensive review process. We had the project reference group that includes federal and state governments, kangaroo industry, RSPCA Australia, the Australian Veterinary Association and pastoralists, as well as the actual consulting group, AgriFutures, were all part of the panel. And it was run by the DPI, basically the review of the code. And it went out for a public consultation period where we got lots of comments from members of the public who wanted to contribute their understanding and also to improve it for animal welfare.
How are states making sure that harvesters are familiar with the new code and any changes in it?
Well, here in New South Wales, we've distributed the code as part of an information package to all our licensees. And this includes advice on how to use our licensing system, the wildlife management system, and also how to ensure that they comply with license conditions and forms for harvesters who are offline. So we are trying to make sure everyone is well aware of the new code. And materials like this audio guide will also assist in explaining the changes and reinforcing the animal welfare standards that we hope this code will deliver.
And Brad, how are the requirements of the code going to be enforced? For example, does field auditing take place?
The opportunities with this code for the compliance teams or kangaroo management staff to complete field audits for harvesters is minimal given the distances and time of the harvest. So, you know, they'd have to go out at night time and be travelling with harvesters to do some field audits. So this should hopefully improve that. And in New South Wales, we monitor the tag returns data and including quantity and weights and monitor activities of the harvesters for compliance with their license conditions. We do have some systems in place so we can monitor the kangaroo harvesters and also monitor the compliance with license conditions.
Are there significant penalties for non-compliance?
Yeah, penalties can range from, well, cautions to warning letters, that's the start. And then we can move on to penalty infringement notices and fines, prosecutions and even suspension or loss of license. This year, we've started to refuse sale of harvest tags to non-compliant harvesters. And we're also communicating with our licensees to support them to comply with the government and the industry standards.
And Brad, are euthanized animals recorded somewhere?
Yeah, we give the harvesters the opportunity to record them online and even in the offline return forms. It's where they can report animals that are harvested as well as animals that had to be euthanized due to unfortunate circumstances when they discharged their rifle. Just in case the kangaroo jumped and it became a body shot, then they can tell us that they had harvested an animal, but didn't consign it to the chiller premises for sale.
So animals that have been left in the paddock.
Yeah, yep, yep. Animals that are left in the paddock, they can tell us how many there were, which isn't very many at all.
An interesting question here for you, Brad. Do harvesters need to have a blood alcohol level of zero when they're working in the field?
Yeah, for two reasons. One, they're driving a vehicle, and two, it is the condition of their firearms license to not be intoxicated.
Dr. Brad Purcell, who is part of the New South Wales Kangaroo Management Program. There are two more parts to this audio guide that look at the procedures for the euthanasia of pouch young and dealing with young at foot. You can visit agrifutures.com.au/kangaroo-resources. That's kangaroo-resources to download the audio guides and the code.